Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Sorry for that mishap. Jess, are you with us, brother?
Hey, Ruben.
There you go. Go ahead. All right, Ruben. Jess, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell them what we're up to, because we got some brand new people this week from the Napa Conference who are actually listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Also, Jess, some good news. We had another couple stations up in the Ohio area that picked up not only the Terry and Jesse Show, not only Jesus 911, Bread of Life Radio picked up a Bishop Strickland Show. So they're all picking them up live. So I want to welcome the folks in Ohio to our show. But Jess, we've got a great show here. And, you know, we always format with the gospel of the day or the readings from the gospel, from the mass readings. Then we go to Fulton Sheen and get a quote from him. Or if somebody's with Fulton Sheen, he will use that quote. And then we get into the cultural issues of the day, sometimes right inside the church, but always with a reason of always having a view that we want to help save souls through the teachings of the Catholic Church. That's our focus. But Jesse, I also want to remind everybody on the 7th of August, that's 2 weeks from now, we have a conference with Dr. Sandoval, who's one of our shows here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, psychiatrist, and also the doctor who works with exorcists in the Diocese of Orange. So this is a man who is well-versed in the Catholic faith. We got several other speakers coming. So I would recommend that you go to vmpr.org and sign up to register or call 877-526-2151. Jess, today's gospel, can we get some soul food in our souls right now, please?
Let's do it. I love when the gospels actually give the apostles actually give the exegesis of what Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
It's always best to get their commentary because they were right there.
Yep.
And so they knew what he meant. Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 to 43. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man." Good seed's the gospel, the Son of Man, that's a title of the Lord Jesus Christ. "The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom." You're going to notice that there's two teams on planet Earth.
Amen.
You got the children of the kingdom, and who's the king of the kingdom? Our Lord Jesus. And then you got another team here, watch.
Mm-hmm.
"The weeds are the children of the evil one,"
yep,
which is a synonym of the devil. So does the devil have children this world?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't deny that when you read the Bible. People say, "How can you? That's mean. What do you mean people are children of the devil?" I'll tell you a good way you can tell who's a child of the devil.
Tell us.
The devil does three things. Steal, kill, destroy, lie, and murder. Five, actually. Okay,
yep.
That's in the Bible. John 8:44 and John chapter 10. Steal, kill, lie, destroy, and murder. Anybody who's involved in perpetual lying, like many politicians, many people that are involved in the continued killing of innocent human beings, like terrorists and abortion clinics, they are children of the devil. That's an example of who is a child of Satan here on earth right now. If the shoe fits, wear it. And it says, "And the enemy who sows them is a devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." So it's talking about judgment day, the general judgment. "Just as the weeds are collected," these are bad people, the weeds, "and burned up with fire." Where are the bad people going to be burned up at? Hell. It says, "So will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin, and all evil doers." This is at the general judgment. The Lord is going to send his angels to reap the harvest. And it says, what's going to happen to people that die in mortal sin, unconfessed, unrepentant mortal sin, and that continue to commit sacrilegious holy communions every Sunday? It says, "They will throw them into the fiery furnace," that's hell, "where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." That's pain and torture.
Yep.
"Then the righteous," those are the ones that die in a state of grace, "will shine In other words, their souls will be so bright and luminous and purified, it'll resemble like Christ. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great gospel.
St. Matthew just told us at the very end, like he does in many of the gospels, open up your ears. Get the wax out of your ears. Everybody is going to die. And guess what? You better take this message very serious. That's what he just says.
Yeah.
Take the wax out of your ears, Terry.
Well said, Jess. And again, that's great catechesis there. And every God, if you can't get to Mass, folks, try to get to Mass by at least reading the readings of the day. And that's not hard to get a missal, or you can even get the Magnificat that has some really good comments for a daily Mass.
Your iPhone even has a daily Mass reading.
There you go.
And you can even hear, there's different priests on the iPhone. You can click, hear them read it, and then and the only homilies that are put there are the good ones, trust me.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, well, before we bring Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen in, I just want to remind everybody again that our hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. All right, Bishop Sheen, bring him on in on that train. Full steam ahead. Well, I want to bring in with Fulton Sheen. He's got a partner here. His name's Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio. And they knew each other. They lived at the same time. So this is kind of interesting. They respected each other tremendously. Here's what Padre Pio said. And this applies to us, especially today in the church. He says, don't allow the sad sight of human injustice to sadden your soul. Someday you will see the unfailing justice of God triumph over it. Why do I say that today, Jess? Because how much injustice is going on in the world today and people get depressed over it? No, you know what? It's not to get depressed. Here's what the saint is telling us. Someday we will see the unfailing justice of God triumph over it. Just like Jesse just said earlier, that we're all going to die. We're all going to have that judgment seat. We call it the exit interview, where everything comes out, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then the decision is made for your soul for all eternity. So don't get flustered because we see the injustice, not only in the world, but I might add, especially in the church today. There's some prelates, Jesse, that have been abused. And you know what they do? They offer it all up for Jesus, because there's never been a saint that hasn't been persecuted by the church.
Yeah, and then by the same token, there's also wicked and evil prelates who basically get a pass on all their...
In this life.
Yeah, in this life. Yeah, and that's exactly, Terry, what gives me complete serenity of conscience.
You too, Jess.
Is that I know that there's going to be a judgment.
Yep.
If there was universal salvation,
I
would be depressed. I'd say, man,
this is a bummer.
Life is horrible.
Yeah.
This is a bad joke living on planet Earth.
Yeah.
If everybody was going to go to heaven at the end, but because I know that God is justice and mercy, mercy for those who die in a state of grace and justice for those who die in a state of mortal sin. That's what gives me, using Fulton Sheen's words, peace of soul and serenity of conscience.
And that's the key when we're going to be coming back to talk about the issue of Holy Communion, receiving it in the state of grace. Because if we think about it, what Jesse is saying is it's merciful for us to tell somebody who's living with their girlfriend when they're married, knock it off. Don't go to Holy Communion, make a sacrilege. Even the President of the United States, that's charity, to tell him you can't be receiving Holy Communion when you're promoting and funding the killing of innocent life. When we come back, we'll talk just about that and much, much more. So why are we doing this? Are you kidding me? Do you think we're popular because we tell people the truth? No. You know what's popular? Tell people what they want to hear. That's what the world does. And they say, look at me, I'm such a great guy. If the world liked Jesse Romero, I'd be worried, okay? I'd say, Jess, you're doing something wrong, bro. Knock it off. Same thing with me. I expect the world to hate us because of what we stand for, which is the teachings of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, the perennial teachings. And that's going to mean suffering. Bring it on. You know why, Jess? Think about it, Jesse. We suffer how many years? How many? Your dad, my mom, your mom, all these people who suffer and they unite it with the sufferings of Christ, There's a reward after this. So don't be depressed when you have suffering in your life. Count it as a blessing. Remember what St. Maximilian Kolbe said. There's three stages of life. Your formation, your apostolate, and then suffering. So embrace it for the love of God.
Amen. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about the financial stranglehold that that the Marxists have imposed on a lot of areas in life, education system, the media, even the Catholic hierarchy. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we will also talk about how to stop sacrilegious communions now. So again, one topic talks about the culture. The other topic talks about the church. And then the last two segments, we're going to give you some solutions on how to face not to be driven by fear, but to face everything with faith.
And believe in Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key. Family, we'll be back with more. Inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
There's no doubt that the Marxists have infiltrated all branches of the U.S. government. They've infiltrated the education system, the media, and the Catholic hierarchy in many instances. Right now, there is no aspect of public and church life that isn't poisoned by the curse of Karl Marx's demonic communist ideology. In fact, PayPal partnered with the Anti-Defamation League. Can you believe that? PayPal. And in the last 4 years, they have been awakening for many. It's been an awakening for many people of goodwill, and it's been inspiring them to become more active in political matters. But it's also shown the massive moral rift amongst Americans, because the swamp, we all know this, Terry, they brazenly stole a presidential election right in front of a nation of 331 million people, and the steal was perpetrated by morally compromised collaborators and a population of people who were just fine with it because the orange man, Trump, was bad, right?
Yep.
But now the cultural Marxists, who spent decades cementing their power, they will hold on to it with an iron grip. They hold run everything right now. Legislature, Congress, and the executive branch. But the same people who scoffed at the moral, political, and economic doctrines of the past, they're now demanding that everyone bow to their doctrines. They don't allow dissent. It's not tolerated. And their schedule's now accelerating, and there's no indication that it's going to slow down, because just today, payment processor PayPal partnered with the Anti-Defamation League. To what? To fight extremism and hate through the financial industry and across at-risk communities. Guess who are some of the people that are considered hate groups? I looked it up on the SDL website. Church Militant, Catholic Family News. Who knows? We'll probably be there one of these days, Terry.
Hey, and Jesse, let me just jump in to confirm. I just spoke to our good friends at Church Militant early this morning. They're on the East Coast. And they're trying to put on an event here in Southern California. And you know what the hotel said when they wanted to book a bunch of rooms? No, thank you. Church Militant's not on the bad guy list. Just to confirm what you just said. So not only is it hitting media, but even industry like hotels won't even rent rooms to Church Militant. Does that tell you something?
I'm just confirming
your point.
President Trump was in Arizona this week.
That's right.
And he said, socialism is not in America right now. Communism is here.
Yeah.
He said, we're past socialism.
He's right.
How do you know that? He says, communism, they control the communication. When they control 95% of the mainstream media, when they control the big tech platforms, that's not socialism any longer.
Yep.
That's straight up communism. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. And Terry just gave a perfect example with our friends at Church Militant.
Yep. And this is sad because this is a situation we're in. But you know what, folks? We're overcoming it. Like, for example, good lay organizations are stepping up to the plate, like Virgin Most Powerful. And you support us, and I appreciate that, because we couldn't do what we're doing We've already been taken off YouTube because we had a bishop who spoke on the Sixth Commandment and other things about the election and the virus. I mean, we're not going to be silent by these people, but I'll make a little pitch. The way that we can't be silent is you, our listener, supporting us. So I would ask right now, go to our website, vmpr.org, or call us at 877-526-215 and say, I'm going to support these groups that are speaking out against communism. Yes, we speak almost daily against communism. Against atheism, almost every day we have something on that. So here's the point I'm making. We're not going to shut up no matter what. If we have to be preaching inside a jail,
so because be it.
Yes, that's it. I'll turn it back to you.
So be it. Terry, this article, I could sum it up this way.
Yeah, sum it up.
It's simple. It's simple. It's the pattern that we're seeing right now in America is that they're banning Jesus Christ and the gospel from the public square.
That's right. We're not even in the issue. In the conversation.
Yeah, this is exactly what's happening right now.
Well said.
They don't want any reference to God anymore in public life and debate, social media, mainstream media. And the state basically claims full authority for itself. And that's what you call tyranny. And they're going to dole out rights as they see fit.
Yeah.
That they're basically banning the gospel of Jesus Christ from the public square. And what they're using, Terry, are Sal Alinsky methods.
Yeah, who is Sal Alinsky? He wrote the book Rules for Radicals. Go ahead, Jesse. Why is he important?
He dedicated Rules for Radicals to Satan.
Exactly.
He was a Marxist back in the 60s. He was good friends with Cardinal Bernardine. He was influenced by communist thought. He wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. He's the one that started in this country what's known as community organizations. He says we can take over this country through community organizations, much like the brown shirts did in Germany. And if you want to see examples of community organization, look no further. Black Lives Matter.
Jesse, make the point.
Look no further. Antifa. Yeah,
exactly. Make the point about Hillary Clinton. Who did she do her report in college about?
Yeah, when she was getting her BA from her undergraduate.
Yep.
Her BA thesis, she wrote a paper on the greatness of Sal Alinsky.
Do I need to say any more? Just think about it. Conservatives will have to face the reality. Orthodox people, more and more, that simply believing and speaking the truth will put a target on them. Well, you know what? I got to tell you, the folks that I've met, I had a doctor friend, Jesse, Dr. Bumgardner, he was with a patient, and knowing that there were numbers on the wrist of the person working on, this was someone from Armenia. And what they had marked was not the numbers, I should say, but a sign of a crucifix, of a cross. And he said, well, what makes you do that? He said, well, in Armenia, the persecution was so great, we wanted our people who are attacking us to know that we're not going to change. And by putting that cross on our hand, it made us more committed to Christ. And I'm thinking, wow, that was like 40, 50 years ago. This elderly person still has that cross on her. Are we going to... Here's the question that comes to my mind, Jess, when the time comes. Is there enough evidence to convict us as being followers of Jesus Christ?
I sure hope so.
I hope so, brother.
Let's move on to another topic, stopping sacrilegious communions now. Sacrilegious communions can be stopped, yes, by the successors of the apostles.
Yep.
And they need to band together. This is what's called collegiality. There's bad collegiality, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Look at the bishop and conference.
Yeah, there's good collegiality as well. Hopefully we get a couple of St. John Fishers and, some.
Yeah.
And bishops of that caliber, St. Athanasius, Snyders, bishops of that caliber, because we have too many lone bishops that are just like Bishop Strickland, for example.
Yeah.
They're like a lone voice crying in the wilderness, trying to make straight the way of the Lord, and then the rest of them just look at them like oddballs or something. But we've been warned, Terry.
We have.
These sacrilegious communions, this is part of what I would call Pope Paul VI declared the smoke of Satan had entered into the church. He said this in the late 60s. He saw where the fruits of Vatican II,
the spirit of Vatican II
was taking the church.
Yep.
And he also said that the church is going through a process of demolition, self-destruction. This is Pope Paul VI, who, again, he was the one that closed the council, and he saw where again, the modernists were taking. They weren't even appealing to the documents anymore. They were just making stuff out of whole cloth, like rip off the communion rails, make everybody stand up, receiving the hand. No, don't kneel down. None of that's in Vatican II. Absolutely none of it.
Nope.
And as a result of the spirit of Vatican II, what's happened? 70% of Catholics in America no longer believe in the real presence.
That's right.
That's a catastrophe. I mean, I would even say if 1% of Catholics in America did not believe
not
in the real
enough.
Presence, that would be bad.
That's right.
But 70% is absolutely unacceptable, yep. unjustifiable, and it's absurd.
And Jesse, just to remind everybody, on the 25th of July, Sunday, was the anniversary of that Humanae Vitae document that Pope Paul VI wrote and back in 68 that was dead on arrival. Nobody wanted to implement it. But like you said, this pontiff in the early 70s talked about the smoke of sainting entering the church, and he saw the family under attack. This is exactly what Our Lady of Fatima told Sister Lucia about the family. So we know, we've seen this. And like you said, Jesse, not only 70% of the Catholics no longer believe in the real presence, less than 2% go to confession once a year. What does that say?
Oh, gosh. Well, most communions are sacrilegious.
That's what that says, Jesse. Why do you think I brought that statistic up?
Yes. And I'll tell you, this doesn't help anyone. You look at Catholics that are just trying to hang on to their faith, and they see fake Catholics like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, all of them who are infamous for, pro-child killing legislation.
Yeah.
When they see them receiving Holy Communion, this makes a lay person say, that can't be God because these guys are wretched. I know who they are. They're wretched politicians. It's got to be a piece of bread, okay? And what this does, Terry, is there's a desacralization of the Eucharist when they allow these public pro-abortion officials to be receiving Holy Communion. The person in the pew is going to say, that's not Jesus. This is all fake. That's what they're going to say. And I'll tell you what else doesn't help is imprecise language. I mean, His Holiness, he called the Eucharist, he's called it the bread of sinners. Okay, he called it the bread of sinners. Well, with all due respect, he's the first pope that's come up with that label.
Yeah.
Because St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, called the Eucharist the bread of angels. And by the way, Psalm 78, verse 25, that's what the Eucharist is called. It's called the bread of angels. The church fathers used Psalm 78, 25 to call the Eucharist the bread of angels. Because like an angel, you must be in a state of grace to receive Holy Communion. That's why. It's not that you're an angel. It's you got to be in a state of grace just like an angel is.
That's right.
But I think right now, Terry, Martin Luther and John Calvin, wherever they're at in the afterlife, I don't know if people laugh in hell, I'm not sure, but they've got to be having a belly laugh right now because what they try to do with the Reformation, you have the modernists doing it right now for them.
Absolutely. Well, that's a very good point, Jesse, that you're making. And when we come back, we can talk about the positive side. What can you do as an individual to help Holy Mother the Church and stay holy and promote the faith? That's what we're going to get into. I'm laughing because my article just disappeared in front of me. The title, Jesse, of that article?
Yes, by Dr. Kwasniewski. He used to teach at Steubenville. Peter, his name is titled, the article is, In the Midst of Crisis, Be Driven by Faith, Not by Fear. Excellent article. It's going to put some pep in your step. It's going to put some gas in your gas tank.
Absolutely. And don't forget, tomorrow we have Michael Voris on Wednesday. I know that he and I were at the Napa Institute along with, are you ready? Father James Altman.
Yeah,
can you imagine the three of us?
That'd be good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, Terry, what needs to be done, I'll be honest with you, just to close this topic, Canon 915 needs to be implemented over and over again by the successors of the apostles. That would be the most pastoral thing that they can do.
Of course.
It's the medicine that these fake Catholic politicians need. And this, Terry, would send it would be the shot fired around the world if lay Catholics would say, wow, I guess that must be more than a piece of bread if they're excommunicating politicians. Wow, maybe it is Jesus.
Actions speak louder than words, brother. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Wait till you come back when you hear what we have to share about. It's so uplifting to have you part of the solution. The Holy Mother of the Church, God's calling you out right now. Step up, put your big boy pants on. We're ready for basically to be converted. That's basically a metanoia. We'll be back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Okay. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Let's not forget that the month of July is the month of the most precious blood of Jesus. Go to Mass more often. Go do holy hours. Make spiritual communions every day with Jesus Christ. And also use those arrow prayers. Arrow prayers are those small, short prayers that you fire off to heaven. You could just say something like, "Most precious blood of Jesus, I place my trust in you." Those are called arrow prayers. All right, let's move on to let's put some, what I would call some high-octane gas into our soul.
Yeah.
Dr. Peter Kwasniewski nailed it with this article. Talk about lifting up your spirits. It's called, if you can get it on our show page, vmpr.org, my show page, jesseromero.com, and it's worth reading this article, especially if you want to just temper and calm your anxiety. He says, "In our days, we're seeing an intensification of the spiritual battle as the situation within the Catholic Church continues to deteriorate."
Yep.
Battles have casualties, and some of those casualties are Catholics who have lost their faith and are tempted to leave the church because of the outrageous corruption. I already know who we got to send this article to, Terry.
I do. I already, both do, yeah.
Yep, yep. Outrageous corruption, infidelity and cowardice of its leaders, and the seeming lack of any coherent solution amidst anarchy. The common denominator I have seen in those who are suffering shipwreck is that they focus their attention primarily or exclusively on the church as a human institution. Now, we've been saying that for a long time, Terry.
Big time.
By doing this, however, we go at the whole thing backwards.
Exactly.
The church was not first in time, nor is it first in our lives. Jesus Christ came first. He sought out the apostles. He attracted the disciples. He redeemed us. He saves us even now. And the point of our whole life is to get to know Him. To be sure, He is the head of the church, and we are members of that church. It is the place where we meet Him, but it is neither first nor last. It reminds me of what Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to say. Yeah. He used to say, "Catholicism is Christ." Yeah. Terry, you want to pick it up?
I do. And I just want to say, this is what we call ecclesiology. How do you see the church? And again, this is not the Optimist Club, okay? It's Christ's church. Say, there's no way to know or understand or figure out the church or the theology, liturgy, or anything without this fundamental relationship with Jesus Christ, being the Son of the Father in and through Him. He is the rock below the rock, Peter, the Pope. He is only the rock that never shifts, being eternally stable. This is important, my folks, because
that last sentence was really important.
It's critical because don't put your faith in prelates, not even in the Pope, okay? Because he can err when it comes to prudential decisions. Look what happened in Mexico. I mentioned that yesterday on the show. So we all know the story in which Jesus is sleeping in the bow of the storm-tossed boat. Remember that, folks? To some people today, it seems he never is going to wake up from his slumber. This, too, is untrue. Rather, we are too busy freaking out. Boy, he said it well. Freaking out to see that Christ is already awake and waiting to look at us in the eye. If only we would stop for a moment. Here it comes. This is the cash value. Overcome our fear of silence and out of fear of being alone with Him and rest in Him. Continue, Jesse.
Among other things, He is alive and active in the Eucharist.
Amen.
This is for real.
You got it.
Praying before and living from the Eucharist has made great saints in every century, in every region, in every conceivable situation. Who fixes God's church? Saints do. How do men and women become saints? They do so by prayer and trust, not by thrashing around and venting and attacking. Our modern vice par excellence is activism.
He nailed it.
We are all inveterate activists,
yep,
who think that it's my fight for Catholicism that matters. That is as sad as it is laughable.
Oh, that's a good way of saying it.
It is righteous men, however few they are,
yeah,
who hold this world together, as God said to Abraham. When Our Lady shows up, she doesn't say, talk more, or kill him on Twitter. She says, pray and do penance.
Well said.
Wow.
And Jesse, this is so good. I want to continue. You know, continue, Jesse, because I'm just going myself.
And let me just make a comment there. Awesome. There's too many Catholics, Terry. They don't disconnect from social media.
Yeah.
And they're just downloading. They're just dumping one negative story after another. Dump, 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 dump. Well, what do you think it's going to do to your personality and to your character and your mindset?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be depressed. You're going to have anxiety. It's for some of you just have to disconnect.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because if you can't look at things in moderation to try to help you for the next day or your family, if you're just on an information overload, you need to stop it now.
You got it. Continue with St. Augustine and St. Anselm.
St. Anselm. Two of the greatest intellects and saints in our tradition
both
held tightly to this saying from Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet said, use Twitter more often and Facebook more often. No, he didn't say that.
I don't think so. That's cute.
Isaiah the prophet said, unless you believe,
amen,
you will not understand, close quote. It may sound terribly anti-intellectual, but it's not a true limited to the supernatural realm. The same truth is verified again and again in human relationships too. Understanding is not where we begin, but where we end.
Say it one more time. This is part.
Understanding is not where we begin, but where we end. He's basically taking from St. Augustine, who says faith seeks understanding.
Exactly, Jesse. You know.
Not the other way around. Liberals want understanding in order to have faith. That's not the way it works.
Nope.
It works. Faith seeks understanding. In other words, God will reveal things to you piecemeal as you open your heart to him like a little child. The article says, when we have been faithful, when we have trusted, and when we have surrendered to a reality greater than ourselves, that's what I just said,
yep,
and our ability to grasp it or control it or help it along, we are like the disciples in that boat. We expect Christ to do things according to our ideas of how it should be done. The whole me, myself, and I mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The warrior Messiah kicking the viscera out of the Romans, in other words, kicking the poop out of the Romans.
Yep.
His idea of that strategy was shown clearly enough in Gethsemane and on Calvary, when he allowed himself to be reduced to a bloody pulp, knowing that he was still in command and that he would have the last word. Yep, it's called the particular judgment and the general judgment. He's going to have the last word on every one of us.
Yep.
For he, the Lord, simply is the first and the last and only word. And the church lives his life, and that means she lives his passion. She too, at least at times, will be a bloody mess, dying in her humiliation, but not left forever in that state.
Well said.
That's exactly what's happening
right
now,
Terry.
We are a bloody mess. We're dying in our humiliation in front of the world. The church is right now in a mess. But again, Jesus doesn't leave it like that forever.
And we've been there before.
He goes on to say, share some of those.
Yes, as illustrations from history abound. The Arian crisis is often raised, and it should not be brushed aside, for it is enormously relevant to the problems we are facing today. Someone who was born, check this out, I never thought about this.
That's powerful.
This, man.
That's powerful.
Around the year 325, and who died around 400, so they lived a full life, would have spent his or her entire life under the shadow of Arianism in a church where the vast majority of the bishops were heretics, or cowards, I like that, where the few good bishops were hounded from place to place, where even popes were ineffectual are compromised. A pope excommunicated, check this out, pope. A pope excommunicated Saint Athanasius, the greatest confessor of the age. Jesse, I'm going to make a prediction, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
He was jailed.
I'm going to make a prediction that Archbishop Lefebvre sometime will be a canonized saint for what he did. Now, people are going to say, you can't say that, Terry. Jesse, go ahead and correct me, brother.
Terry, I've thought that for many,
I have.
Many years.
I think so.
Yeah, because, again...
In the water, it all comes out. Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why.
Tell me, Jesse.
Because the Holy Spirit uses few good men to expose great evil.
Yeah.
And what was happening in the 60s...
Yeah, it was evil.
A lot of things that were happening there, Terry.
Yeah.
Again, the spirit of Vatican II by evil modernists that call themselves the new theologians, Novo Theologia, which basically means we reject the scholastics. We reject Aquinas, Bellarmine, Bonaventure, Suarez, Lapide. We reject them because we know better than them. That's what happened at Vatican II with the modernists.
Well said. And I can also say this, that it was in 1980. Eight, when St. John Paul II brought back Veritatis Splendor and quoted one of St. Thomas Aquinas heavily. It was the first time since the council. So we see the challenge we're in. And when we come back, we're going to continue on this. In the midst of crisis, be driven by faith, not by fear. And we're going to talk about Henry Newman that I think, you think about it, Henry Newman puts you, our listener, in 2021 to be alive. Not to go to ball games. Yeah, that's okay. He permits that. You know what he asks you to do? He puts you in so that you could become a saint right now. And everything that you're dealing with, he willed it. That your life is actually a life centered on Jesus Christ. And we come back, we'll talk about St. Henry Newman showing us how faithful we have to be in these times. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Lord Jesus Christ, wash us with your precious blood. Great article here by Dr. Kwasniewski. It's called, In the Midst of Crisis, Be Driven by Faith, Not by Fear. He says, as Cardinal Newman shows, it was the faithful who kept the faith. Did they complain that Jesus, the Son of God, the one whose royal divinity they confessed, was sleeping in their boat? Perhaps some did, and there is a way of complaining in the Psalms that can be a form of prayer. But the faith survived because most of them didn't lose heart. They held fast. No matter what, knowing that it is not that it's not we who choose when we live, but Providence.
Amen.
My hypothetical Catholic who lived from 325 AD to 400 sometimes had to worship out in the desert because the church buildings were stolen from the Catholics by imposters.
Yep.
He admired the rare figures like St. Athanasius and St. Hilary, but he knew they were vastly outnumbered. That 4th century Catholic never saw a healthy, functional church either.
And he also gives another example. The situation in the Reformation, England, was not too different for the Catholics who lived through it. See, when we know history, you're not shocked by certain things. You just go, okay, we've been here before. A man who was born during Henry VIII's reign and who lived a long life would have seen his country go from Roman Catholicism to Anglo-Catholicism to Calvinism, and back to Catholicism, and finally back to Anglicanism. The politicians were complicit, except for the saint, St. Thomas More. The bishops were complicit, except for St. John Fisher. Well, you see, it doesn't mean that, I mean, it only usually in these crises, it's only a couple people stand up. Most people are cowards, Jess. Yet, am I right, Jess? Most of
Absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely.
That's how it works. Okay.
Yeah, it's always a remnant.
Yeah, it seems that.
That seems to save the church or the Israelites.
And Jesse, even in the Old Testament. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Always a remnant.
Yep. Yet there were many saints from that period and many unsung heroes known to God alone who were capitulated into holiness.
Catapulted
into holiness by the crisis. Catapulted, yes. They were forced to seek refuge in Christ and not in princesses.
Amen.
Wow, that's what we have to... In mortal men of whom there is no help. Why did this happen? You, everybody asks about right now. Why did he allow it to happen? We still do not have answers that can satisfy us in this life. But we can also seek God's hand at work in the stupendous blossoms of sanctity that have graced England, including the renewal of martyrdoms worthy of the ancient Roman Empire. See, we're all not going to see this in this life, Jess. It's got to be on the other side. Continue, please.
It seems to me that many today are being driven by fear.
Oh, of course.
Including the fear of the dissolution of the hierarchical church or its exposure as a fraud.
Yep.
This fear is generated, or at least made possible, by our inability to see the big picture, or by thinking that we see enough to know it's irrational and ugly. In any case, we want things to make sense on our own terms. That isn't how God does things.
Nope.
Never has been, never will be. It's not for nothing that he is said to be infinite mystery. How could it be otherwise? He's not a giant creature lording it over us, as the serpent in the garden tried to get Adam and Eve to think. He is the root of all. He is in everything and beyond everything. It's not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers for every question.
Nope.
But to progressively make us aware of mystery. God is not so much the object of our knowledge as he is the cause of our awe. As Albert Rossi says, and Rossi also makes the point, which I've come to rely on, that we need to learn to live with unclarity, uncertainty, ambiguity. One could even say it's a sign of mental health. The ability to go forward without seeing fully, the ability to let things be as they are without despairing or hyperventilating, the ability to rest content with knowing what is essential. Rossi puts it in three statements. I know that I don't know. I know that Christ knows. I trust him.
Well said.
Boy, that's powerful. That's all you need to live by,
exactly.
Right there. Hey. Yeah, we don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I know I don't know everything. Heck, I don't know most things. But I know who does know everything. His name is Jesus.
Exactly.
And that is everything right there, Terry. Yeah.
It's the trust that we have. And you know, St. John Vianney had a story that was very similar to his trust with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The devil hated St. John Vianney, okay? Hated him. And at night, he would shake his bed and do all kinds of bad things to him to try and get him get away from Christ. And he had so much trust in who Jesus Christ was. People would come, hey, what's going on? Is it shaking? I said, it's only the devil. Go back to bed. See, this is the trust we have to have, Jesse, right now where the church is under siege. Yeah, live a holy life. Live in the presence of God. He's going to get to this a little later in the article. The point of it is, don't be afraid because, Jesse, we know what happens when people are fearful. That demonic stuff comes in. Opening yourself up to it.
That's exactly, the devil preys on fears, anger, and all this negative energy. Yeah. He's all over that, like flies over hot poop on a hot summer day.
Exactly. Our analogies have been pretty good today, Jess. Let's continue because I want to get it in before we have to.
The foundation of fruitless suffering is the lack of friendship with Jesus, just as the foundation of fruitful suffering is union with him. We will not have and cannot have healthy relationships with anyone, including the church and our leaders and our members, unless we have a relationship with Christ.
Could you just repeat that? That's gold right there.
Those last two sentences are the entire article.
Yeah.
The foundation of fruitless suffering is the lack of friendship with Jesus.
Yep.
In other words, wasted pain.
Yep.
Just as the foundation of fruitful suffering is union with Christ. You turn your pain into a nuclear power plant.
Yeah.
We will not have and cannot have healthy relationships with anyone, including the church and our leaders and our members, unless we have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Gosh, that is so beautiful. Keep going. I want to get to this. This is
neat. To the extent that we do not have it, the inherent weakness, the tendency to dissipation in material and mortal things will prevail. When our Lord puts us through a fiery trial,
this is gold right here too.
It is because he knows we need this. Exactly. We need to meet him there. A priest once said in the confessional, the place where you are hurting is the place where Jesus wants to meet you. His wounds are your refuge. Woo. You have the power to heal your wounds.
It's powerful, Jess.
Oh, man. But they will not do so if we are busy fleeing him, tearing out our hair, and questioning whether he loves us or cares about us. This is how we cut ourselves off from the only place that reality is, from the only one who sees it and governs it. The only way to have peace is to be in God's presence, because there's no peace outside of him. Really, none at all. How could there be?
Jesse, one thing he didn't put in that I think is important, too, about our refuges can be in Jesus. The world, the devil, and the flesh is telling us, be entertained to death. Distract yourself. This has always been the force.
Titillate yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Titillate yourself so you don't have to deal with reality. Now, our identity is not in being Catholic or defending the church, but in being Christ. That is what it means to be a Christian. Yes, we belong to his body, but still our fundamental identity, we've said this so many times, Jesse, over the years, is to be his, to be a son of the Son, a beloved son of the Father. This is my beloved Son at whom I'm well pleased. God says that to each one of us. I hope he says that to me at the end of my life, Brother Jess.
Amen.
He says, you are my beloved son. There is no healing for wounded sonship, wounded fatherhood outside the Father and the Son. Continue, Jess.
He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Mm-hmm. Do you think the saints are liars? They asked, sought, and knocked.
Yep.
And they received, found, and got in. Over and over again for the past 2,000 years.
Amen, brother.
We are lacking nothing that they had. We got the whole package, yet we do not have to ask. Yet we do have to ask, seek, and knock. It doesn't happen automatically or by chance. It happens by turning again and again to him. That's called repentance and conversion. Our problems are usually not intellectual. They are problems of the heart. At the center of our being, not in the airy world of concepts, and therefore not in the realm of apologetics either. One particular cause of psychological unrest today is the battle of social media.
Well said.
The maelstrom of opinions from semi-educated loudmouths living in the midst of this realm can be frustrating and cause us to lose our peace or not to be able to acquire it in the first place. It prioritizes the immediate, the egregious, and the depressing over the longer vision, the unmoving truth, the sparks of joy. We get buried alive in this avalanche of misinformation, I would say. Misinformation.
Exactly.
We suffocate from squadrons of pontificating pundits, Christians who find themselves in a panic mode, undergoing a personal crisis, have a moral obligation to pull back, to withdraw, or at least to restructure their approach to media.
Keep going, Jesse.
I'm no paragon of virtue by any stretch of the imagination, but I would die dry up spiritually if I did not start my day apart from my online work. Mm-hmm. I tried to erect barriers and boundaries to it. When I get up in the morning, before any devices go on, I pray, prime, and read some scripture. I go to Mass most days, and I take other breaks during the day to say terse, sext, or none. Or all of them, if I can manage. That's the liturgy of the hours. Mm-hmm. So that I can maintain perspective and not lose my peace altogether. Or lose my awareness of the one and the only relationship that ultimately matters. The one on whom everything else depends.
He also mentions Brother Lawrence, his great book, Living in the Presence of God. It says, Jesse, the rest of the article, people need to go to our show page or your show page to get the rest of this. This has been
phenomenal.
A great show. I also want to say that Bishop Strickland is on in a minute. I'll be with him for an hour after we take a quick break. And I call him my Athanasius of modern times because after being with him last weekend and seeing and talking to him, he is a man that is willing to, put everything on the line for what? For the love of God. Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in a state of grace. Make no excuses. Do not live in a state of mortal sin. Get holy or die trying. There's nothing else to do with our life.
If you find this show good, which I hope you do, send it to your friends. Pass it on. That's how we grow this ministry. We're not on YouTube anymore. We're on other formats, but if you're watching it, like us. Send it to your friends because we want people to be introduced to the person of Jesus Christ. Can you tell? Praise God, Jesse. Hey, thanks again for your support, folks. Supporting Virgin Most Powerful. Up next, the Bishop Strickland Hour, only on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.